This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 14, 2022, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather separation. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, in that gospel passage, gives us a very painful reality of what it is to be confronted with objective truth. Not just confronted with objective truth, but to live objective truth. This is going to bear a consequence. That consequence is separation. It's unintentional, but it's last week's homily about how the church is not a socializing organization, a socializing body. It is a body that has been sent to sanctify individual people, to make individual people holy, to bring them into the church. Thus, the church is holy, and the church has a mission to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is going to cause separation. We are separate from the world. This is what sanctified means. This is what consecrated means. Set aside, separated from the world. Our Lord, he starts this whole thing out here. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. And there are commentators that look at that, you know, I've come to cast fire. Oh, he means the gospel, the light of the gospel. That's what he means by that. Or he means God's charity and his love. That's the fire, the burning charity of Christ. That's what it means. No, he means the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit landed as if tongues of fire on the. That's what he was talking about. I came to bring. That's not what he's talking about. That's completely out of context with what our Lord is speaking about. Okay, I've come to cast fire. Fire is generally used, and it is here. What is that? It's something that advances, it spreads, it consumes. Fire is generally talking about God's judgment. He comes to judge what is true and what is not, who adhere to truth and who do not. This is the gospel message. This is the fire of what our Lord speaks. A little footnote on this one, you know, a little asterisk thing. Look at the footnote. Scripture is what is called in the discussions amongst theologians, there is a perspicuity to Scripture. Scripture is clear. You don't need a Da Vinci Code, okay? You don't need any kind of secret knowledge, no Gnosticism to get it. It's really clear. It's clear, and even, well, that doesn't sound so clear to me. Well, let's do this. We will go to another part of Scripture that speaks about the same context where it is more clear. Scripture is crystalline when it comes to the fact that there is a separation between good and evil. Bottom line, good and evil, they are to be separate. It starts in Genesis. After the fall in the garden, God's calling everyone to task that was involved, Satan and Adam and Eve. He looks at Satan, he said, henceforth, I am going to put enmities, plural, between your seed and the seed of the woman. Division. God is all about division. Even before the fall, God's all about it. Light, darkness, sea, land, male, female. He's all about division. He's all about roles. This is for this, this is for that, this is for this, this is for that. This is what he is. And after the fall, he looks at the serpent. I am going to put enmity. I'm going to make you enemies. I mean, that's what that word means. I'm going to make you an enemy of the seed of the woman. So this is not foreign to Scripture. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 29, the prophet Jeremiah has been being given the word of God to confront other false prophets with their misdeeds. And our Lord describes the word that he's giving Jeremiah. He said, "Is not my word a fire? Is not my word a hammer for breaking down?" Breaking down what? Breaking down untruth. We serve a master, Jesus Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Before he came, everything was up for grabs. Some people worship the statue of this cow. Some people worship the statue of the frog. Some people worship the Nile. Some people worship the sun, the moon. Some people are burning their firstborn and brazen bulls to worship their God. Because this is kind of sad for our state of affairs. Why did they do that? Everyone was seeking God in his own way. And what do we hear from a lot of places in the church right now? Everybody's okay because they're seeking God in their own way. Jesus Christ came to show us that's not correct. You don't seek God in your own way. You seek God as he has revealed himself, how he wants to be sought. It's not you and your Bible and you and the Holy Spirit. It's you conforming your life to God's truth. And this is what our Lord is talking about, the consequences of a confrontation with the truth. Not everybody is going to, they can all hear it. One of two options. You're going to accept it or you are going to deny it. But I don't deny it. I just, ignore it. Ignoring the truth is denying the truth. That's a reality. So this is what our Lord's talking about. It was not a matter, hey, I came down here to bring separation. Well, in a sense, he did, because he did come down to give us the truth. But he's talking about separation as being a consequence of this fire that he is going to unleash within us. And a lot of people read, we don't like passages like that because, it sounds like we're going to do violence to other people. Our Lord Jesus Christ isn't directing this to other people. He's letting you know, as one who embraces and maintains the gospel, he's letting you know that this is what you're going to have to face. This is a reality. If you adhere to God's truth, then these are the consequences. There is going to be separation because he separated you from the world. So there's going to be consequence separation from the world, and it's going to get a lot deeper than that, as we shall see. But this is what our Lord's talking about. Because what Jesus Christ is presenting, as I said before, it is a painful reality of objective truth. And when we're talking about our eternal destiny, you better have eternal truth and not something you come up with subjectively. Because our Lord's stats, many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody hears the truth, but only a few are going to accept it and maintain it. Notice accepting and maintaining. Because this is what one commentator said. He said, "The gospel shall cause divisions and bring persecutions and almost an infinity of other evils upon those who embrace and maintain it." Not on others. On us. This is the reality of our faith. And I love that at the end right there, pay attention to his words. He doesn't say who embrace the faith, because there's a lot of people who embrace the faith. They understand it. They even believe it. They keep it to themselves. That's not what it says. It says embrace and maintain the faith. What is a maintenance of the faith? What is it to maintain the faith? To maintain it is to live it and to present it. That's called the Great Commission that our Lord gives us. Tell them to do all things that I have commanded you. All that truth. All of it. That whole, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. This is what we need to live. This is what the commentary, so this isn't, doing violence to other people. This is the violence that we're going to have to endure as embracing and maintaining faith. Because division is, it's a necessity. Division is absolutely necessary if truth is manifest. Because everything can't be true. Maybe when you read certain documents, these people who deny our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they may be okay because they claim this or they claim that. If they don't claim Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're not going to the Father. Because Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. When I talk about the perspicuity of Scripture, that's crystal clear for simple people like me. A lot of really smart guys try to tap dance around, oh, we don't know really what Jesus meant by that. Yeah, we do. Let Jesus say what he said. And when that is said, accept or deny it. That's all there is to it, accepting or denying. If there is no truth, there is no solidity. There is no rock upon which to build your faith. Yeah, that whole rock, rigid thing that we're supposed to embrace, all right, contrary to what you may hear from other places, we are supposed to build our faith on the rigidity of a rock. There are not too many things in nature that are more rigid than a rock. It's kind of why Jesus emphasizes that. So it's pervasive. It runs the gamut. Theology, morality, liturgics, you know, because they're all intertwined. If you adhere to the faith, if you embrace and maintain the faith, all of those things have to be in line one with another. Theologically, what is theology? How we understand God, the knowledge of God. There is a truth and there is a half-truth, the truth of God. He is gracious and merciful. He sent his son to die for us. That's a given. He is also just and righteous. We need to hear about both of those things because you don't need great grace and mercy if God isn't just and righteous, because he's a lot more just and righteous than you are. And the only way you can get into heaven is for him to earn your way into heaven through the cross. Theologically, this is how we should understand God. Gracious and merciful and righteous and just. But in most places, all you ever hear about is the gracious and merciful God. For instance, I know you pay attention when you're here. I think it's articulated in your bulletin. She articulates a lot of things in the bulletin. Yeah, I hope it's in there. The introit for today. The first thing, you hear it chanted at this Mass. You know, I mean, when things are chanted, it sounds so nice. And we got a good choir, you hear, you know, it's music, and you pay attention to the words. The words today of the introit, God, destroy our enemies in your righteousness. Avenge us of our enemies. Guess what? You ain't hearing that in most parishes around here, because I looked this morning in the Roman Missal, and that's nothing like what you're going to hear in other places. Why? We don't talk about God like that. We don't have enemies. We're Catholic. We have a lot of enemies. That's why we're Catholics. We've been separated from them. This is why God put enmity, plural, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Yeah, we do. And God needs to deal with them. So we got to ask him occasionally for that. Now, every time you walk in here, I would actually say the majority of the time, you don't hear, God, destroy our enemies in your righteousness, avenge us of the evildoer. We don't hear that every day. But you got to hear it every now and then, because that gives a balance. That presents God as he is. That's truthful theology. The other is a half-truth. Morality. There are four sins. Four? There's a lot more sins. Yes, there are. There's a boatload of sins. Okay? Pick up one of the examination of conscience. There's a boatload of sins. But there are only four that call down vengeance from heaven. Four. Man, those must be huge. Yes, they are. One of them is called throughout Scripture an abomination in God's eyes. And in a lot of places, we're going to have a massive inclusion for these people who the Scriptures say will not inherit the kingdom of heaven and who commit regularly a sin that calls down vengeance from heaven. What's wrong? Something's true, like Scripture, and something's not, like masses of inclusion. That's the reality of things. This is what happens, the truth. This is the separation. This is why you see what's going on in this liturgical nonsense that's going on in the church right now. Why is that going on? Well, because, you know, they just don't want people to hear in Latin because they don't understand it. It has nothing to do with language. Nothing. It has to do with what the old mass presents. You know what the old mass presents? God's truth. It is not catechetical. It's not where we learn what the truth is. It's a presentation of what we believe as Orthodox Catholic truth. I don't understand the rigidity. Well, I got some answers for you. Reverence, making God the center of worship, a couple things like that. I just don't understand the rigidity. It always amazes me when you get down to the brass tacks with truth, because truth is irrefutable. You can't refute truth. We worship a God who has revealed himself to us. Well, we think he says what? No, it doesn't. No, he says right here. That's not true. And what do you get? What do you get with all these canceled guys? Canceled priests, certain commentators who are not allowed in certain places because they're persona non grata. You can't come around here because we don't. Never once do you ever hear any of the naysayers, any of the people who are shunning, you never hear them say what they say is not true. They never say that. It's always they're being divisive. Because that's what Jesus was. That's what happens when truth is presented. It's going to be divisive. So when I look at you, I don't see the rigidity or the adherence to the old mass in its rigidity and its formalism. Well, maybe because of little things like in Scripture, like I said before, about from Genesis, God is a God of order. And it specifically says that in the New Testament, because our God is a God of order. And you know what the context is when that's presented? Liturgy. If we approach an orderly God in worship, don't you think he might want you to approach him orderly? And you can't go, ours is as orderly as yours. No, it's not. That's just objective fact. No, it's not. Yes, it is. We sing hymns and we stand up for the gospel. Yeah, and you run around like banshees with the sign of peace, too. That's disorderly. I mean, that goes beyond disorderly in some places. That's why it's not a thing. Never has been a thing to be disorderly in worship. Our God is a God of order. And again, when you present that, our God's, and that's disorderly. You're being divisive. Yeah. Okay, because I'm telling you the truth. God is a God of order. Okay, this is going to be manifest. And it's not just a matter of, the separation between us who like the traditional stuff and the people who don't like it. No. Our Lord Jesus Christ, take this into your house. For there shall be from henceforth five in one household divided. Jesus Christ does not say, your old friends aren't going to like you anymore because you're deepening your faith or you're a fanatic. Thank you very much now. That is not your friends or your acquaintances. There is not one remark in there about a friend or an acquaintance. It's all family. I do this for a living. I hear what people come to me and lament over, and I empathize with them completely. There's going to be separation in your families over this. That's all there is to it. Our Lord's giving you a heads up. That's what's going on here. Be prepared for this. Be prepared that as you deepen your faith, family members who don't, and I mean close family, we're talking sons and fathers, mothers and daughters. It's that close. It's that up in your face. But it's necessary because there's truth involved. And God's truth goes beyond the bounds of family ties. That's all there is to it. St. Ambrose, Christ, he's talking about this passage. Christ does not say children should reject a parent, but that God is to be set before all else. Oh, I know, but I love my mom or my dad or my child. So my wife, my husband, you can't love them more than God. I love them so much. How can you love, if you love them that much, how can you love them more than the one who gave them to you? It doesn't make any sense. So we're not talking about, I'm deepening my faith, I have to reject my parents. They're going to reject you. They're going to reject you. St. Ambrose goes on, it is evident that bonds of nature do not bind faith. You cannot do things that violate the faith to keep peace in your household. Jesus Christ will not have it. I get it frequently. Father, I want to ask you a question. My fill-in-the-blank relative, close relative, they're going to have a family event, and I know it's wrong, and I know that they haven't done this, and they haven't, and it's a grave mortal sin. But Father so-and-so told me it'd be okay if I went. And I'm sure there's Father so-and-so and a bunch of other priests in our day and age that would tell you it's okay. But it's not okay. It's facilitating sin. It is giving your tacit approval to mortal sin. You know, because they look at you and they, oh, this is okay, because even the Catholic, they go to this parish. That's okay. No, it's not. It's sin. Anytime the reason for violating God's precepts are grounded on human concerns, it's a sin. Oh, no, Father so-and-so said it, you know, you got to keep communication open with the family. It's a sin. Let's keep sinful communication open for the family. That's just the reality of things. You can't go. And you don't got to shun them for the rest of your life. You cannot be party to their mortal sin. There is going to be a separation. This is one of those passages. See, that's why the scriptures contradict itself, because it says in other places that Jesus Christ came to bring peace. Yes, it does say he's bringing peace for certain people. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he said that the Orient from on high has come to visit us to direct our feet in the way of peace. Yes, he did. Does it say to direct everyone into the way of peace? No, to direct our feet into the way of peace. What about the angels when he was born? Glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. I don't like the old versions, because that's where it stops, and that's not where the scriptures stop. It's glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men upon whom his favor rests. That's what it says. So he did come to bring peace for those who embrace the truth. Because it is not peace. Peace means everybody just getting along and not beating each other up, and burning each other's houses down. That's not peace. That's called the status quo. That's not the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ brings. We have a peace which passes all understanding. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but as I give, a supernatural peace, a peace that gives us solace when your family members hate you or when your family members mock you. Like I said, I empathize. I'll be a little transparent. I sent someone a text, blah, this, that, and the other thing, and some bad things are going on, blah, blah, blah. Well, I spoke of you at Mass 2 times today. You know what I got? Whatever. So I'm not standing up here talking out of turn. But they said that. When I read that, I was like, yep. And these kind of passages come to my mind. Okay, I guess you're doing the good thing. It's going to happen. That's all there is to it. That's who we are. This is why our Lord said, this is going to happen to us who embrace and maintain the faith. It's just us to maintain it, no matter what the cause might be, in separation from people who don't, in the Father and Son and Holy Ghost.